Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, on this, well, somewhat, a little bit too hot to be hanging on my deck Tuesday evening in New York City and in Wayne, New Jersey, my hometown. Actually, Sean, after his somewhat sad performance in our draft two nights ago, has decided not to show up. No, all joking aside, he actually has an apartment emergency and is trying not to be homeless next week. So we brought in even before we get to that, the one thing a couple of people brought to me, so are you going to talk about A-Rod? Are you going to talk about A-Rod? I'm sick of talking about A-Rod. I don't care. A-Rod is like talking about Dwight Howard. You talk about him forever and you just get sick of it. This is fantasy week. We're all drafting this week, next week, the week after. So I have brought in our resident expert, Back Sports Page, fantasy football guru, Anthony Mulvihill. Anthony, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me. I could talk fantasy football all day. And actually, might we mention, it's another fellow Wayne Valley alumni.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm a wee bit older, and which I hate to admit, but such is life. Yeah, I am a Wayne Valley Indian circa 1994. I think there's a few alumni from that era who listened. Yeah, back when the football team was good.
Leagues were done. Yeah, there we go. That's back when fantasy leagues, in order to keep score, you had to mail it in through actual mail, through letters.
Yeah, I actually. That's right. I used to run an NCAA tournament pool. To give you an idea, it was called the Dick Vitale NCAA tournament pool. And what was funny was I ended up going to Maryland, where everyone hates Dick Vitale because, for all intents and purposes, it's as if he attended Duke. And everyone had to handwrite the 64 teams. So I would take 2 days off from school, which explains how much of an intellectual I actually am, to work on this, to do this by hand. Because this was even before the days of Excel. So,
right.
Yeah, 20 years ago, 19 years ago, man. God, that's just a problem.
We're getting sidetracked.
Yeah, well, we always do. I always do. Okay. Yeah, we don't need to discuss my age. So, Anthony, so you are in double-digit fantasy leagues. This is a bit scary.
Yeah. I know. You know what? It's actually, I realized the problem. It's just that I can't say no at this point when a draft comes up, especially this week. My roommates are both on vacation. I've just been in the house by myself. I have nothing to do, so if someone asks me to do a draft, it's just fun, you know? It's much more a hobby than it is an addiction.
Yeah, there is nothing. So, it's the most fun part about the week to me is the night,
exactly.
Is the draft. You have a couple beers, you grab some pizza, and you either do it in person, you do it online, and there are so many variations on how it can be done. We're going to do kind of a basic overall. We're going to go through the position by position, who we think's overrated, who we think's underrated. Some ideas as a whole. We'll talk about just pretty much if anyone has questions, don't be afraid to call in 760-283-0846. And I guess we'll start with the most basic position. A position that 2 or 3 years ago was really, there were very few people you wanted to draft, and now it's almost a free-for-all drafting QBs.
QBs, we do have, unlike last year, was a big year for quarterbacks. We kind of wanted to reach them in the first round. Aaron Rodgers was going, he was a consensus top five pick, and deservedly so. He was the best one by far. He still is the best one by far. The thing with quarterbacks this year, and we all know that the NFL is becoming much more of a passing league, and that's also why the wide receiver position is so deep. But the quarterback position is becoming even deeper. And in a lot of leagues, since we're going to focus on standard leagues, one quarterback league, if you're only starting one quarterback, then you can afford to wait on guys. For instance, Tony Romo, RG3, Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan. These are the 10th rated quarterbacks going off the board. And they're not going to provide much less value than Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees in the early fantasy rounds.
Well, I guess to me, when I look at the quarterbacks this year, we've gone toward there's a trend in the NFL, the running, the read option quarterbacks, the Colin Kaepernick, the Russell Wilson, the RG3. But there's kind of a unique problem with all of these guys. You look at them, Russell Wilson is number one receiver. Percy Harvin out. Robert Griffin III. Who is his best receiver? Pierre Garçon? Nothing spectacular.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, are you? Yeah, if you're an RG3 fan, and as someone who lived in D.C. with 10 years worth of Redskin fans, yeah, good luck with that. And who's the other one that I just mentioned? Colin Kaepernick. Michael Crouch, are you out?
Right.
So what is
the thing?
Yes.
The thing I like about Russell Wilson, I mean, he did once they went to a zone read offense last year. They actually started in Week 12. From Week 12 on, Russell Wilson was the second highest scoring quarterback in fantasy, which not many people know about, and he did that without Percy Harvin. So it's tough, obviously, you knock Russell Wilson down your list a little bit, you know, with the injury to Harvin, but he also did it last year without him. So I'm not knocking him down too much. RG3, he's a little bit of an injury threat, you know, with the ACL. We don't even know if he's going to play in Week 1, and you know, he averaged 7 design runs throughout his first 4 games of the season, and you know, once his knee started acting up towards the end of the year, that significantly went down every single week. So he's not going to have as many designed runs, which could help him stay healthy. But then again, like you said, they're not going to be getting the yardage, the rushing yardage, as much as he normally would.
Well, who are your top five quarterbacks this year?
Top 5 quarterbacks. I must mention that I am a Detroit Lions fan. I'm not going to get into detail as to why, but that's going to come into play very shortly. But we'll look at this one. I mean, I think it's safe to say that Aaron Rodgers is number one in pretty much everyone's rankings. Drew Brees comes in at number 2. I don't think that's anyone's going to argue with that. Now it becomes a little bit of a question. I put Matthew Stafford at number 3, and let me tell you why. Well, just 2 years ago, he did finish as the number 3 quarterback, and last year was the second year in a row that he almost, I mean, threw for 5,000 yards, over 5,000 yards 2 years ago, very close to it last year. He had the most passing attempts by far in the league. He went from 42 touchdowns in 2011 to only, I believe, 22 last year, and with more passing attempts. So he just kind of got unlucky. And there's 24 times last year Detroit Lions wide receivers were tackled in the 5-yard line. So with just a little bit more luck, if Stafford finishes with, you know, he could finish with way more than 22 touchdowns. And I think it's actually going to happen this year. He gains Reggie Bush, who's probably the best receiving backfield, running back out of the backfield besides maybe Darren Sproles. He gets a healthy Ryan Broyles back, who should be back by Week 1. Nate Burleson comes back. Brandon Pettigrew's in the best shape of his life. That's why I put Stafford at 3. I might be a little bit biased. Anyway, I talk about him way too much. Number 4, Peyton Manning. Number 5, Tom Brady. In that order.
I actually change around a little bit. I actually have Aaron Rodgers taking a small step back simply because Jordy Nelson has been injured. I don't trust your Michael Finley. Greg Jennings is now in Minnesota. The receiving crew that you have, the running backs are still, you know, you have 2 rookie running backs in Franklin, Jonathan Franklin and Eddie Lacy. We don't really know how they're going to be. Franklin's a pretty good receiver out of the backfield, but Lacy's most likely going to be the starter. I think he takes a small step back in the fantasy world. I have Drew Brees as my number 1, with Sproles coming out of the backfield. The receivers they have, they're interchangeable. Lance Maher, Marcus Colston, so on and so forth. I have Peyton Manning number 2. I think that trio of receivers while may not be great for fantasy purposes in regards to Eric Decker, because I think him and Wes Welker kind of mix and match. We go to overrated, underrated receivers. I'll go there. I think he throws for another 35-40 touchdown season, and I think that team is really, really good. I don't think that's really stretching too far. Aaron Rodgers, 3, as I said, he takes a small step back, nothing that significant. Number 4, Matthew Stafford. I don't have a major – I don't have an issue. I think Reggie Bush is an absolute stud this year, stud in a PPR league. I would take him – he would be my number 1 running back as a catcher, as a receiver more than Sproles this year. If he can stay healthy, I don't see why he shouldn't. My only fear is, as he obviously has – you have Megatron as the number 1 wideout. Ryan Broyles has been injured last year. Has been injured coming off of this year. He's still having some problems. God knows where Titus Young is at this point. The second receiver does scare me a little bit, but I do believe Stafford will be throwing for another 4,500 to 5,000-yard season. My number five is Matt Ryan. Good two stud receivers, great tight end. Jaquez Rogers coming out of the backfield. Steven Jackson can catch the ball out of the backfield, which Michael Turner could not do. So those are my five. Any major arguments?
No, you know what? Not really. And don't forget, you knocked Rogers down, which is interesting. I don't think I've seen a list where Rogers wasn't the number one. And, I mean, to your credit, don't forget that they lost tackle Brian Beluga also, which makes that already porous offensive line even worse. I can't argue with Ryan. I think I'm just a little bit lower on him than most. And the reason I would put him up there or keep him up there, you're right. You said it perfectly. His weapons are unbelievable. Julio Jones is only going to get better. Roddy White. Gonzalez, he's just not aging. He's going to retire after this year, but he's as good as he ever was. And now he gains out of the backfield Steven Jackson, who's a pass-catching running back, as opposed to Michael Turner, who had, you know, one of the worst set of hands in the league as far as running backs are concerned. So you throw that in there. I really like Jaquez Rogers, the backup running back, as a, you know, possible third down back, big play guy, catching out of the backfield. So you can't argue with his weapons. He's probably, you know, he's up there with the Denver receiving core as well. So I like
who
that.
Who are you overrated and underrated at the quarterback position?
As far as quarterbacks come, to be honest, I knock only because – This just goes based on where they're being drafted. So it's not necessarily that I don't like these guys as quarterbacks, but I wouldn't reach as high as most people are. Russell Wilson, I actually have as my 12th rated quarterback. Like I said, that might be a little low. He was great last year. They're just a much better team, and I think they're going to throw the ball a lot, even less than they did last year. They have Marshawn Lynch. He's an absolute workhorse. They're going to give him the ball as much as possible. They're going to turn more into a passing team with Harvin, but now they just, you know, they're back to where they were with Golden Tate, who I don't mind where he's being drafted, but then they're back with, you know, Sidney Rice. It's nothing impressive. I like his feet. He's got a good arm. He's done absolutely fantastic head on his shoulders, but when it comes to where he's being drafted, I think people are reaching just a little bit. RG3 I like as a quarterback. I just don't trust the situation he's in now. I wouldn't go as far as people are reaching for him. I have him ranked as my 11th quarterback, which in one quarterback league, I don't even like to draft a backup. So it pretty much makes both those guys undraftable for me. Guys I would move ahead, I love Andrew Luck this year. And I think I'm one of the only ones, but to argue against my point of the two guys I just spoke about, I think the second year is when the quarterback makes the biggest jump. And we all know that what the Colts are doing, they're installing a West Coast offense. The biggest knock on Andrew Luck last year was the turnovers. He had a ton of interceptions. So you put in a West Coast offense, he's going to make quicker decisions, and he's capable of doing it. His receivers are only getting better. T.Y. Hilton, rookie last year, he has huge playability. He's going to be the third wide receiver after the signing of Darius Heyward-Bey. So you just give him more weapons. Colby Fleener's a year older, his tight end from Stanford that Andrew Luck used to throw to. Dwayne Allen's another sleeper at tight end. I just like what he has around. Oh, don't forget, and they signed Ahmad Bradshaw, the best blocking running back in the league. So I just like all the weapons that Luck has around him. I think he's going to take the next step in his career. So he's a little underrated. And if we go a little bit further, especially in two quarterback leagues, I've always liked him. He's always killed me. But this is the year I make a break for me, contract year for Jay Cutler. I'd like new head coach Mark Trestman. He's going to install a new passing offense. I just like the opportunity he has. We all know, I mean, Brandon Marshall is a stud wide receiver, and that's pretty much all they have. Alshon Jeffrey is a very talented, athletic number two. But then they still have, Matt Forte out of the backfield. I think this is the year, if Cutler will ever do it, this is the time for him to do it. So those are my two underrated.
Yeah, I actually agree with you on Jay Cutler. He's going for the most part between 17 to 22 range. I think him and both Josh Freeman in contract years, Freeman also with Mike Glennon behind him, with a stud receiver in Vincent Jackson, that team has to be more consistent. I think he will be. Mm-hmm. Jay Cutler, we've seen for years, I believe Alshon Jeffrey may have a breakout year with Trestman, who's an offensive genius and has been for years. Forte, good, solid coming out of the backfield as a receiving back. Brandon Marshall, there's really no need to discuss any further. That if it's not now, it'll never be. For overrated, right, similar to kind of what I stated in the beginning, the running quarterbacks, Colin Kaepernick, breakout year last year. I'm not sold on his wideouts. Training for Jonathan Baldwin is certainly not going to really help the situation. And Russell Wilson, they are a running team. And I agree. I think he is overrated as a fantasy quarterback, not as a quarterback in general.
Correct.
What, going to the running backs, and it's a year in, now normally, I shouldn't even say normally, I guess our league that we are doing through Back Sports Page is a little different, where there's a lot, it's more skewed towards the pass receivers and the quarterbacks. But in a typical running back, a typical league, even in a PPR league, a lot of people go running back. Do you agree with the philosophy?
All right, well, here's where I stand on that. And if you listen to my show on Thursday nights, you would know exactly where I'm coming from. The thing, you want to get running back. The misconception here is that everyone's saying that running back isn't as deep as it's been in other years. I think that's just completely untrue. And if you look at all the lists, running back is very deep. The only thing is the top 12 running backs are much better than the remaining 18. Or, you know, there's guys even past that who I wouldn't mind starting. It's just that you want to get one of these top 12 guys. So I wouldn't be against going running back, but I think there's value at the other positions. My big thing, especially in a PPR league, it makes running back even deeper. It turns Darren, we spoke about this before, it turns Darren Sproles into an early second-round pick, borderline first-rounder. You know, 2 years ago with Sean Payton, Darren Sproles, even if you didn't count all his catches, he still finished as a top 10 back. So even in non-PPR leagues, he was still a top 10 back. And now you throw in, you know, an extra 80, 90 catches per year, he's a stud. So I think you want to get one of the top running backs just to, you know, and then you can go with someone later on. It's deeper than you think. But no, I don't necessarily agree with the running back. I think you're better off getting, you know, a stud quarterback, Jimmy Graham at tight end, who's the best tight end by far. There's value at other positions.
Well, who are your top five running backs?
Top five running backs? I know we're talking about standard. Do you want me to go? Do we want PPR? Standard? Does it matter?
I think, to me, every league should be PPR. So I don't really understand
the
idea
of
not having
it.
But
right.
So we'll go PPR, and we'll make one or two changes when we talk about the running backs in general.
Fair enough. My first running back, I mean, then again, I think everyone goes with Aaron Rodgers, but you didn't. So let's hope that you said Adrian Peterson for number one. I think that's just safe. I don't know where you're going with this one.
Yes, I agree with Adrian. Adrian Peterson is the number one running back.
I think everyone has that. All right, so my number two, who I'm actually huge on this year, I do have number one in my big money league. I'm trying to trade down in order to take this guy, Doug Martin, especially in a PPR league. I just like everything about him. They're a running team. He was second scoring running back last year. He gets both his starting guards back, Carl Nix and Davin Joseph, which is only going to help his chances. He was a rookie last year and he did that. So, I mean, I know he had one game, kind of skewed his stats against Oakland. I think he had, four touchdowns, 250 yards.
Yeah.
But he's just going to continue, you know, to succeed. My rankings right now are according to non-PPR, so let me switch it up a little bit. I move Ray Rice up to third overall. I told you I was a Lions fan. I also went to Rutgers. So I'm a little biased towards Ray Rice as well, but you can't argue with it. I'm not buying into the Bernard Peters hype. They lose a lot of weapons there. Dennis Pitta's gone. Anquan Boldin's gone. All they really have is Torrey Smith, who caught, I think, 40-something balls last year, 47, 48 balls. I just think they're just going to, you know, keep giving the ball to Rice, especially out of that. They might even – there's talk about lining Rice up at wide receiver, which in a PPR league, which would be huge. And I know he could do it. He's done it before. And you just want to make him more versatile as their biggest offensive weapon. Number four, I have LeSean McCoy, who, you know, last year was a was a top, you know, he's just a year removed from being a number three overall running back. The only questions we have about McCoy is what kind of offense Chip Kelly's going to run, how successful they're going to be. I don't think the injury last year plays much of a part. It's just but Bryce Brown, his backup, you know, he was impressive in limited time. So I don't think he's going to take too many carries away from him. But I still like McCoy that high. I did have Jamaal Charles as my number five. But because of the injury and in the preseason and his injury history, it just scared me a little bit. So I moved C.J. Spiller up to the number five. So with new former Syracuse coach Doug Marrone, they already said they want to give him the ball 350 times this year, which I wouldn't argue against it. That's the only – I have a question about that. We don't know if he can handle the ball 350 times this year. But, I mean, for fantasy purposes, it's all about opportunity. So if he's getting the ball that much – we did see EJ Manuel in preseason, who's looked kind of impressive. Before he got hurt, the only thing is he's throwing really short passes. He's being extremely conservative, which only plays, you know, which only favors C.J. Spiller. He's going to catch a lot of balls out of the backfield. Fred Jackson just can't stay healthy, and they want to give him the ball as much as possible. So especially in PPR league, I like the value getting C.J. Spiller at number five.
I think it's an interesting list. It's the first list I've ever seen. It's just as you had said, you hadn't seen one where Rodgers wasn't one. I hadn't seen a top five list without Arian Foster. But I completely understand your point. If you're going PPR, I have him fourth in mind. I do go Adrian Peterson.
I don't mean to cut you off, but the reason I actually just knocked him off my list, it's, what are we, August 20th right now, and he still hasn't been on the field for a preseason game.
He has a strained calf. Yeah.
Right. So this has been going on for way too long, and that's the only reason I knocked him off. But go ahead. Your turn.
Okay. All right. Well, no argument with Adrian Peterson, and yes, while the Aaron Rodgers pick may be insane, I'm not completely that crazy. Adrian Peterson is the best offensive player in football, in my opinion. You may go with Calvin Johnson as a Detroit fan, but either way, I don't think you're going to go wrong in either argument. My number two is Jamaal Charles. The fear of the injury aside, it does give me a little bit of worry, but everything I've read says he should be okay. Andy Reid, I see him using him like he used a LeSean McCoy, like he used a Bryant Westbrook, catching a lot of balls out of the backfield with big play. He had with the best big play ability in my mind in the NFL. Number three, C.J. Spiller. Same idea. If he can stay healthy, and that is the big issue. Can he handle a full season? I do. I think everyone likes Fred Jackson as his backup. So I'm a little bit surprised that Doug Mazzone has gone this definitively that it's C.J.'s ball and that's it. Fred Jackson was actually a top 5 to 7 fantasy running back last year before he got injured in week 8. But C.J. Spiller can do everything, and we're pretty excited to see. I mean, it's not really often you say you're excited to kind of see Buffalo's offense, but I'm kind of curious to see how E.J. Manuel and C.J. Spiller, along with Stevie Johnson, really go together. Number four, as I said, Arian Foster, he does scare me a little bit because he has not been on the playing field yet this year. And again, in a PPR, I would probably drop, to be fair, I may very well drop him to six behind Ray Rice. Ray Rice is my number four. I feel like I get Ray Rice every year. Every year people say that something's going to happen, something's going to go wrong. And he still ends up with his pretty dependable statistics, although they were a little bit down last year as a whole. What does scare me in Baltimore, as you said, there's nobody else. So I have a feeling, you know, you're going to see a lot of eight in the box against him, especially with Pitta out for the season. You don't have it. You barely Torrey Smith, and he went to Maryland. So I'm obviously a pretty big fan. Has not proven to be a number one. He has the potential to be, but they barely have a number two at this point. And that does worry me a little bit. Doug Martin, since I dropped Arian Foster, I'll have Doug Martin at number five. I think he caught a lot of teams by surprise last year. I think he also feasted on a couple weak teams, hence the 4-touchdown Oakland game. That being said, I can certainly see him getting another, you know, 1,700 total yards with 10 touchdowns, something along those lines. Great player, really good work ethic, fits in well with the Greg Schiano offense. So that's my five. Are there any running backs that you would jump up if it was a non-PPR?
In the first round?
into that top five?
Just looking at it now, I mean, I like taking guys to catch the ball out of the backfield, whether it's PPR or not, just because I, as I mentioned with Spiller, you know, it's all about touching the ball. And the more opportunities you get, the better chance you have. And if we're going to go out of the top five, a guy who's falling, you know, really far in drafts, who I really like is Maurice Jones-Drew. He's actually, his ADP is, he's early third round. He's fallen in a league I did the other day. I got him in the middle of the third round.
You got him in the middle of the third.
I don't understand how he's fallen this far. No, you're right. You're proving my point even more. He's in a contract year. They have no one else behind him besides Bernard Robinson. They're going to give him the ball as much as possible. He's getting a little bit older. The injuries might worry me a little bit, but for the potential value that you're getting as a third round pick, you have to go. He was the leading rusher in the league 2 years ago. And then he had a small injury last year, like I said, that concerns me, but you can't pass up on him here. He's going to catch a ton of balls. Same with Matt Forte. He's, you know, even in PPR leagues, he's going in the second round. He's a guy I might take late first, just because, as you spoke before, I like Jay Cutler this year. I like their potential and that the whole offense is potential. You know, just catching the ball out of the backfield. But there's guys like who I've dropped because of PPR who might move up a little bit. Steven Ridley. You know, he's going to get double-digit touchdowns. You can knock him up a little bit if it's not PPR. Alfred Morris, I think he caught less than 10 passes last year. You know, any running back in a Shanahan offense is someone you want to have, whether it's PPR or not. That's pretty much it. There's a ton of guys I like towards the later end of the draft, you know, like anywhere from like round four to round seven. But other than that, when it comes to reaching up in the first round, I like to stick with PPR guys.
No, it makes sense. And actually, you had mentioned Maurice Jones-Drew. I started to laugh because in our league, I do a league, as I said, through Back Sports Page with Anthony and other writers and people attached to the league. And my biggest issue was in the third round, do I take a third running back? Because I went Jamal Charles at four. I forget off the top of my head. Alfred Morris.
Alfred Morris. Yeah.
Yeah, who I love this year simply because, number one, Shanahan has already said he will catch more balls out of the outfield, out of the backfield, more, which he couldn't have caught less. But even if he catches 25 to 30 balls, I think that, you know, that'll be fine because it's not like they have a great receiving crew. We've said RG3 is going to run less. We know that's going to happen. And the way that Shanahan uses his running backs, he uses them and they get used up. And it's happened with everyone, with Mike Anderson, with Olandis Gary, with Terrell Davis, so on and so forth. I think Alfred Morris has a phenomenal year. Going 9 or 10 within the running backs, I think is low. I couldn't agree with you more on MJD. My big issue I had, as I said, was because we were in a two-quarterback league, I was forced to take a quarterback prior to where I would have liked to. And I couldn't really justify going running back, running back, running back. And it never occurred to me that Jones-Drew was going to drop for me to be able to take him in the third round. So I think Jones-Drew has a phenomenal year. As you said, he's in a contract year. Blaine Gabbert is their quarterback. And outside of Cecil Shorts is a decent receiver. Blackman's on suspension. He's going to get the ball as much as possible. And Gus Bradley's a pretty conservative, pretty conservative coach. So I see that working pretty well together. Overrated. There's not too many I see that are really overrated. As he said, I like the PPR running backs as well. So Marshawn Lynch going three or four is a little bit higher than I would take him, although I don't really know if I would see him as overrated. Chris Johnson just scares the heck out of me. Anyone who's ever drafted Chris Johnson, that would be me. He could run for 2,000. You still don't really want to touch him. He's just too inconsistent. And Steven Jackson, who has been a great running back for many years, now that he's going to a team where they have such incredible offensive skill in Jones and Gonzalez and Roddy White, I think he'll get – I don't think he'll get as many touches. I think his stats will be down, though his touchdowns may be the same. I think his catches will be down, and I think his his rushing numbers will be down as well. So going to everybody's favorite – I'm sorry. What did you say?
I mean, it's very possible. When it comes to Steven Jackson, I mean, you're going to say his yards might be down. You contradict yourself a little bit by saying, you know, there's so many more weapons in Atlanta, which is true. But, you know, now he was the only guy in St. Louis. They didn't have a receiver to speak about last year. So it kind of takes the attention off him a little bit. And even fat Michael Turner had double-digit touchdowns in that offense. And, you know, Steven, he can't even find a job this year. So I like where Steven Jackson is, especially where he's going late second round or early third round. He's a nice value pick. Pretty solid.
Yeah. He's been a second-round pick for me, I think, the last 2 years. And I do think the injuries have caught up with him a little bit. And, yeah, mm-hmm. he will be fine. I don't think people – you know, I think if you get him in the late second, early third, I don't think you're going to be crying. I don't think you're going to be crying about it. But I do see that – I see him losing some of the touchdowns that he had. And he's had over 10, I want to say, the last 5-6 years. Maybe last year may have been an anomaly where he had a little bit less. But I'm actually looking up right now. Oh, he only had 4 touchdowns last year. Yeah, that is – well, he was also injured part of the year. Going on to the wideouts. Well, they're the most fun picks. There's certainly no scarcity of them. Led by, I think, everybody's number one in Calvin Johnson. And you go through this and – you know, even in a league like ours where you can start as many as 5, most leagues you can start at least 3. Is there anything that you would see, and I guess as a Lions fan, as you stated, you'd be a little bit biased on this. Is there any reason that you would take anyone else over Megatron at number 1?
No, it's not possible. You shouldn't be playing fantasy if you take any receiver over Calvin Johnson. That's just what it comes down to. He had the most yards of all time last season. He was reportedly playing with broken fingers. The Lions love to throw the ball. They're going to continue to do the same thing. He's the number one guy. The argument that comes in, you know, wide receivers 2, 3, 4. That's the order that people can't decide on. And, you know, personally, especially in PBR leagues, I go Brandon Marshall number 2. He was high up there on targets. He'll be high up there on targets again. I go Dez Bryant 3. I love his upside, his talent level, and then AJ Green 4. I mean, you can't argue with Green. He's a mold of Calvin Johnson. I just like the other offenses better. Those are the especially in PPR, like I said, Marshall 2, Dez 3. How do you separate those guys?
You can't. And actually, before we move on, we have a caller. My normal co-host, Mr. Palmer, is joining us. Sean, are you looking to draft some quarterbacks?
No, actually, I'm looking to espouse my knowledge on fantasy football and pat myself on the back for taking the number one receiver in our league, Calvin Johnson.
And don't forget, you're a quarterback, too.
Well, I mean, amongst my quarterbacks, there really is no second. I mean, look, I have a strategy. It generally works until half my quarterbacks get injured towards the 8th or 9th week. But, Anthony, great job so far. Thank you for filling in for me. I had a little bit of a housing emergency, but I think the bet is coming on. I may be moving up the block a little bit, so thanks for joining in. But overall, I think Mr. Kamens loves him some Brandon Marshall this year.
He does, but
how you
Mr. Kamens, as Anthony said, there's really 4 receivers, and then there's everybody else. My number one is Calvin Johnson. There's no real argument. However, you're wrong for my number 2, Sean, and you should know better. My number 2 is Dez Bryant, who I think is going to finally seem to have his life together. The potential of his is overwhelming, and I think he's going to have the breakout season we've all been waiting for. He had a great year last year, I think he jumps to the level of almost a half level below Calvin Johnson. Brandon Marshall, number 3, he will in a PPR league, his catches will be through the roof. We all know this, especially because unless Alshon Jeffrey really steps up or Martellus Bennett becomes the number two tight end in the league, you're looking at another 100-catch season. I love A.J. Green. There's nothing not to love about A.J. Green. And if Cincinnati can get if Tyler Eifert and Grisham can really have a solid number two tight end combination, the lack of a second receiver may not hurt them as much as you'd think. And then for number five, it really is a toss-up. We get to our overrated, underrated. My number five is actually Vincent Jackson out of Tampa. Phenomenal year last year, which shocked me. I thought he was a kind of receiver where once he got his big contract, I did not expect the same numbers, and for him to exceed it with a disappointing quarterback and no real second receiver, I think he'll even be better this year.
Seth, let me interject a little bit, because I do understand your skepticism behind Vincent Jackson. And first of all, I am not a big fan of A.J. Green this year at all. So that's number one. But number two, Tampa Bay does something that very few teams do. In fact, I don't know any team that does this. They don't give a signing bonus at all. They give great yearly contracts. So basically, their players are on one-year contracts every single year.
That's right.
So Vincent Jackson did earn $14 million last year. But in order to earn the $13 million this year, he needed to play well last year. And Darrell Revis is on that same boat. Tampa Bay did not give signing bonuses to possibly and probably eliminate the concept of get the big contract and then slack off.
That's fair. Anthony, who is your number five?
I actually have – I like the Vincent Jackson pick. If we're going PPR, I knock him down a little bit, even though they're going to line him up in the slot this year because they do want him to get the ball as much as possible. It might help his PPR prospects. But I actually have Larry Fitzgerald. This guy, you know, before last year, we all know the only reason he dropped a little bit was because of the quarterback play. You know, between Ryan Lindley, Kevin Cobb, who might not even start for Buffalo this year over a rookie, they were just anemic. They were useless. So, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, he's the only person who can rival Calvin Johnson as the number one, the most talented wide receiver in the league, not for fantasy purposes. But I think he finally takes a step up with Bruce Arians as a coach. He likes to throw the ball downfield. Carson Palmer is actually great under pressure. That offensive line is not that good, not good at all. They can't, you know, they got, I think they were top five in sacks allowed last season, which is part of the reason why Rashard Mendenhall has the, you know, he's the clear-cut number one guy in that offense, and he's still being drafted as the 25th to 30th running back in fantasy this year. So I really like what Fitzgerald can do, even in double coverage. You know, if you just give Palmer a little bit of time and he's got a great arm, he doesn't need a great quarterback. Yeah, with Kurt Warner,
I think you're sleeping on Arizona a little bit. I mean, I tend to like them, especially in fantasy football, because I think that they're going to, playing in that Western Division, I think they're going to be down a lot, which means they're going to be throwing the crap out of the ball. I think with Jonathan Cooper was drafted, I believe it was sixth overall, the first guard taken out of North Carolina, and will try to solidify that offensive line. Arians, you're absolutely right. He throws the ball downfield. And for fantasy purposes, that is fantastic news. But he also dealt with Andrew Luck last year, and they didn't have a great offensive line either. Andre Roberts, I think, is a sleeper in the fantasy world. Michael Floyd, also a sleeper in the fantasy world, especially when you're dealing with three wide-out leagues, five wide-out leagues, Randy Zellia's seven wide-out league. I think that those two guys are incredible bi-week sleepers that are going to get touches. I mean, look at T.Y. Hilton. Look at all the wide receivers other than Reggie Wayne in the Indianapolis Colts offense last year. They all produced. I think you're going to see a lot of production from those Arizona Cardinals. And I think you're right. I think Larry Fitzgerald rivals Dez Bryant for number two.
All right. Now, I actually like where you're coming from and everything you've said. And how many sleepers could we have in the Arizona Cardinals offense? But my favorite sleeper in this offense is actually a tight end, Rob Housler, Michael Floyd, I think he is what he is. Roberts can get the opportunities if he's lined up in the slot. But Housler, I said it before, and I said it over and over again on my show, if you don't get Jimmy Graham as your number one tight end, then I want to wait and be the last person to select a tight end. And then there's a list of like five, six, seven guys who you can get away with, and Rob Housler's one of them. So I don't necessarily think that he's going to be starting or you want him starting in any of your teams, but I wouldn't be surprised if he finished as a top 10 guy.
Now, I actually love the Larry Fitzgerald comment. He was my number six. I'm a huge fan. Kind of going into my overrated, underrated, I guess, quickly. Overrated, and this is going to shock people, Julio Jones. I am not a big Julio Jones guy in regards to him being a top five guy in fantasy, which everyone seems to have. I think he's closer to 10. Part of it is because of the other weapons that they have. Part of it is I think talent-wise he's in that class. I just don't see the number. I don't think the numbers are going to come up this year. I just don't. The combination of Eric Decker and Wes Welker, I think they do take each other's receptions away, at least to a point. I know people have Welker going very, still have him going almost around 9 or 10. I wouldn't have him that high. He's more around 20 to me. Kind of underrated, you had said T.Y. Hilton from Indianapolis. I do like him as a number two receiver against Reggie Wayne. And my pick, which if he can finally stay healthy and if Jake Locker can finally become what we think he can become, think how good Kenny Britt would actually be. As a Rutgers guy, I'm sure you remember him. And he's had one or two years where he's been a borderline top 5 to 10 receiver when healthy, when with an offensive line to give Jake Locker some time or Matt Hasselbeck back in that time. I'm a fan. I think he's healthy. I think he has a great year.
I think you're I think you're thoroughly on point, and then I'll hang up and let you guys do this. I think you're thoroughly on point with Julio Jones. I think Julio Jones is Dez Bryant from last year. He's got one more year until greatness because Miles Austin is on the way down, and that's where Roddy White will be as well. So that's the overrated. I think you're right. You're underrated for me, and then I'll hang up. Pierre Garçon, that man caught every ball that Robert Griffith III threw to him last year. And I think if he didn't get hurt, he would have wound up in the top 10. So thanks again, Anthony, for filling in. Seth, Anthony, great show. Talk to you guys later. Thanks again.
That's about all we could really handle of Sean for this period.
Very
of time.
Passionate.
Yeah.
Very
passionate. Oh, he's now been muted. So, so you were saying?
I think I got sidetracked a little bit. Continue,
please.
We were talking about Kenny Britt. So, I like the Kenny Britt pick too. The big thing about him, I wouldn't reach for him, but where he's going like 9th, 10th round, and at that point, there's other guys, that can be productive. But why would you – they're not going to be starting for you. So I'd like to take a high upside guy like Kenny Britt, someone who could finish top 10, even, top 15. Like you said, he's been a top even 5 receiver before he got hurt 4 years ago, I believe it was. I think he was a top 4 wide receiver in the league. So that stuff happens. But like you said, he is healthy. Kendall Wright did sit out practice. He got hurt the other day. I think it's just a sprain. But, it's something to be concerned with. Locker scares me a little bit, but – you're right. I absolutely like the Kenny Britt pick, and it's not just because I went to Rutgers. But, other underrated guys, I have him higher up my list. I think he's not so much a sleeper anymore because everyone keeps talking about him as Dwayne Bowe in Kansas City. Kind of the same, theory as you with Jamal Charles. I like what Andy Reid can do. They're going to throw the ball a lot more. And unfortunately for Dwayne Bowe, fortunately this year, but – it's just been unfortunate throughout his whole career. Alex Smith is the best quarterback he's ever had.
Yeah.
And that's pretty upsetting. But, but it bodes well for him. He thinks he's going to lead the league in receptions this year. So, you know, he's confident. He's in good shape. He's has high hopes. So I like the value you're going to get out of him. Another guy I like, actually, another receiving core I like from where they're being drafted, both guys in Pittsburgh. That's Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders. Emmanuel Sanders going much later, especially in PPR leagues. I really like what both these guys are going to do. Le'Veon Bell just got hurt again. He's going in for MRI today, so we don't know what's wrong with him. But they switched from a running team to much more of a passing team. And just Ben Roethlisberger has to stay healthy in order for these picks to work out. So that's the only thing I'm worried about. But, you know, Mike Wallace is gone now. Heath Miller's hurt. He's not going to come back for a while. This is pretty much all that this offense has. So I really like those two. When it comes to overrated, it's tough. I actually like what you said about Julio Jones. I'm not going to knock his talent, but there's just too many options in that offense. He's more of just a deep threat. He doesn't catch too many balls. You know, he relies too heavily on touchdowns and big plays. So I love the talent. I just think he's gone a little bit too early. And also Demaryius Thomas, for the same reason you said about, you know, the same thing you said about Wes Welker and Eric Decker, I think they're all just going to take touches away from each other. And, you know, no one's had more touches in the past 6 years than Wes Welker when it comes to wide receivers. So there's just going to be less balls to go around for everybody. I still like all three guys as fantasy wide receivers, but I wouldn't reach on Thomas, who's only had, you know, one breakout year in his career. So that's it for my overrated receivers.
We got 15 minutes to go through three more positions. So tight end, as you said, it's Jimmy Graham, and then everybody else. If Gronkowski is healthy by week two, week three, do you put him at the same level going forward or no?
Going forward, I wouldn't argue against it. I think Gronk could easily be better than Graham, and he probably is. It's just I don't know if he's going to be healthy in week two, especially if he goes on the PUP list. We all know he's out for the first 6 weeks.
Yep.
And not only that, it's just, you know, this is going to bother him all year, and it's kind of been the case. He even missed 5 games last year. I just don't want to have to worry about that. And I still do like the fact that you could, you know, even if Gronkowski's out, but you have to waste another roster spot on tight end, which is fine. And a replacement-level tight end plus Gronk for the whole year is still the second-best fantasy tight end. So you're still going to get great value out of that, and he's going to be back for the playoffs, or, you know, as long as he doesn't get hurt again, so that's the hope. The guy I really like, as if you're going to draft Gronkowski, is Zach Sudfeld, the undrafted tight end out of Nevada. He's getting a ton of hype right now. He's the Patriots' number one tight end. He's getting all the first-team reps. He's looked great in preseason. And even when Gronkowski comes back, this is their guy. He's going to hopefully take Aaron Hernandez's spot. So even if Gronk becomes the number one tight end, we all know there's value in the number two tight end in New England. So I really like drafting him late. Most people don't even know his name anymore. If you guys need me to spell it in order to type him into your draft board, because he's rated in the thousands right now, Sudfeld, Zach Sudfeld. You're not going to regret it. And then it just drops down completely. Jason Witten's my third tight end. You can wait till like the 7th, 8th round to get him. Tony Gonzalez is up there. But then again, I would just rather wait for someone. If you don't get Jimmy Graham, you don't get Rob Gronkowski, I'd rather wait and take one of the sleeper tight end, Brandon Pettigrew from Detroit. You know, he had 100 targets, over 100 targets 2 years ago. Jared Cook in St. Louis, an amazing athlete, just never made it in Tennessee. He's in St. Louis now. Sam Bradford, you know, likes to look to his tight end. JerMichael Finley, I know you didn't speak highly of him, but he's another guy. He's the best quarterback in the league. There's tons of value. There's tons of sleepers later on in the draft. So, I mean, that's where I'd go with that. I've done two drafts already, and I got Jimmy Graham in both, so I've been lucky. But,
yeah,
you know, when it comes
No, continue. Finish.
No, go ahead. I'm done. In for you.
No, I was going to say, there's no real argument. I think that's kind of the consensus, that if Gronkowski was healthy, you could argue either him or Graham. Graham is the consensus number one. Gronk is the number two. And then almost from three down, you're really, there's no reason. In our league that we did, I drafted Jared Cook in the 13th round because I saw, Jason Witten probably in a PPR still has a bit more value than everybody else. You kind of see that generation of tight ends, Witten, Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, to a lesser degree, he's a little bit younger, Vernon Davis. Kind of, although Davis may have to have a great year because there are no wideouts in San Francisco, kind of taking a step back. And I don't see any huge, I don't see the huge upside between the difference between a Kyle Rudolph, a Greg Olsen, although the best upside that Greg Olsen has is he's from our hometown of Wayne, New Jersey.
Right.
Yeah. It's hard to like JerMichael Finley simply because every year the expectation he was going to be the number one, the number two, the number three tight end. It just never materialized. Fred Davis, I kind of like because when he's healthy, he really is he's been a very good outlet for Washington for several years. I don't know how well, because he got injured pretty early, I believe, last year, and I don't really know how well he'll play into the Shanahan offense. But as he said, there's not a major difference after the top two between number three and number 12, number 13. So I couldn't really agree with you more. I don't really want to hit – well, the kickers, we'll go very quickly through the defenses. I think the consensus top three are Seattle, San Fran, and Houston. Maybe I'm missing – maybe there's one or two others. Are those the top ones that you think of? And how early will you draft to be on defense?
Well, if you followed my team in the other league, I go with a slightly different strategy, and I'll tell you why. Chicago finished as the number one scoring defense last year. Depending on your scoring system, it's different every league. So the big thing is, there's been teams like Chicago, Seattle came out of nowhere. It's hard to predict who's going to finish in the top 10. And last year alone, if you just started the defense who played against Arizona every single week, that would have been the number one scoring defense if you add it all up. So that's kind of what I like to do. That's also tough. It's hard to predict. None of us can predict the future. We're not going to know who's going to have a good week, who's going to have a good year, but that's also part of my point. I'm not going to reach for a defense. And actually what I do, and it, depending on which website you draft on, ESPN won't allow you to do it, and it makes you pick a starting spot for every position. But on Yahoo, if you did follow my team, I didn't draft a defense and I didn't draft a kicker. And what I do instead is draft a backup running back. And if the starting running back happens to get hurt in the preseason, then that's the biggest value pick of the draft. And what I want to do, I'm just going to pick up a defense based on matchups every single week. And I know that's probably not the best fantasy advice, and you have to look it up every week and make a decision every week. So, I mean, to be honest, I don't even rank defenses. I think Seattle and San Francisco.
Oh, continue going. I think this is really interesting.
Yeah, I think Seattle and San Francisco are the best two defenses out there. But then again, it's just you don't know how they're going to finish. There's nothing to base it on. A lot of it, a lot of it depends on which offenses they're playing. Turnovers. We said earlier in the show, touchdowns are hard to predict. They're even harder to predict for defenses. So you don't know how many return touchdowns they're going to get. Different leagues do special teams. Punt return yards, punt return touchdowns, kickoff touchdowns, special team touchdowns. So it's just hard to follow. That's why I'd rather just not deal with it. And it kind of gives you – there's no better feeling than starting a defense, picking up a defense on a bye week or, every week and actually making the right call. But then again, there's no worse feeling than doing it and being completely wrong.
I have never heard that before, and I actually think it's – I think it's one of two extremes. I actually go to the other, where I don't draft – well, I may have this year. But usually I have two or three defenses in my bench halfway through the year, and I just rotate them. I'm not a big fan of keeping one for the year because, as you said, it's very hard to – it's really hard to do that. But I never really thought about the idea, I guess, because of not drafting a defense and then going week by week. I do think after a while it would become a bit difficult because most of the defenses you would want would be kept. But I kind of understand. Mm-hmm. I understand it more actually with the kicker because a kicker to me is completely random. And I think I never really thought about that. It's actually a really interesting idea on how to do it.
So here's the thing. I can't think of a specific example, but let's put it this way. So say Darryl Richardson was named the starter in St. Louis this week,
right,
which we all thought was going to happen, but no one really knew. So you know what? I have a better example. So Isaac Redman from the Steelers, and then all of a sudden now Le'Veon Bell is going to get an MRI. So what if I took, instead of having a defense, I could potentially have a starting running back if Bell is out for an extended period of time. So it's not like I was going to wait till the last round and take, or the second to last round and take a defense anyway. So I think it's more of just every year this happens, and, you know, a guy you spoke about before, Alfred Morris, went undrafted last year. There's guys who break through. Even Doug Martin was a later round pick. I think he was going like fourth, fifth round last year. CJ Spiller went past the 10th round last year. So I'd rather take a chance on a high upside running back. We don't know who the guy's going to be, but the more lottery tickets you buy into, the better chance you had to hit. And that's just the feeling. That's just where I go with that. And, you know, you're not going to win your league with a kicker. You're most likely not going to win your league with a defense. And even if you do win with a defense, it's not because you knew it was going to happen. You're just going to get lucky. It's the same.
I think it's
the same with a kicker.
I think that's a really interesting idea. See, people listening, you learn something new every once in a while. I'm sorry. Continue.
No, go ahead. I hope a lot of people aren't listening because that's a strategy I like to imply on my own.
Hopefully the people who are listening to you aren't competing against you, or they're listening to you a little bit later on your webcast on the Thursday show. So we only have 3 minutes left. So I just want to say, your big rookies coming in this year. What are your thoughts?
I like it. The rookie running back position is the most intriguing. When it comes to that, I did like Le'Veon Bell the most, only because he was a clear-cut starter, and he was the absolute number one guy. And that's the only person, it's the only rookie running back you could say that for. And now he's going for the MRI, so we're not sure what's going to happen. The rest are complete question marks. Tavon Austin, if we're talking about the wide receivers now, Tavon Austin, I never really liked rookie wide receivers. They do have a lot of options there. Chris Gibbons, Jared Cook, as we spoke about. I would just avoid the rookies as much as possible. The rookie sleeper I like the most, especially in two quarterback leagues, is E.J. Manuel from Buffalo. If he's healthy enough and he does get the starting job by week one, just based on rushing yards alone, this guy is going to be either finished as a top 15 quarterback, and he's being drafted as, you know, sometimes behind Kevin Cobb in two quarterback leagues. So the rest of the running backs are tough to predict. Lacy would be next in my list, next in line. Then Monty Ball, I think he's eventually going to win the job in Denver. He's going to be a goal line back. Any running back in a Peyton Manning offense is going to be successful. And then there's not much after that. So it's tough to predict, like I said, but, I mean, we're running out of time, so what do you think?
Well, I do like Patterson out of Minnesota. I agree with you that most wideouts struggle. I like that Greg Jennings will be able to kind of coach him a little bit, will be kind of the mentor. Tavon Austin, he'll have his moments. He'll have his games where he has 150 yards. He'll have his games where he has 10. The running backs, I do like Monty Ball. He's just at Wisconsin. He was a touchdown machine. I don't see in this kind of offense how he can fail unless he doesn't beat out Ronnie Hillman for the job. I think he will. The Green Bay, it's hard to tell because between Dwan Harris and Jonathan Franklin and Eddie Lacy, there doesn't seem to be any real content. Nobody really knows who's going to win that job. I agree. I like Le'Veon Bell also out of Pittsburgh. Andy, thanks so much for coming on the show. You want to promote yours? You got 30 seconds.
Real quick. Well, actually, if you guys follow Seth's Facebook, we'll put a link onto our show. It's Strictly Fantasy Football every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Monday morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast. I appreciate you having me. So, like I said, I could talk about fantasy all day. So follow up, and you can close it out.
Sounds good. Anthony, thanks again. next week, college football preview with Nabate Isle. Sean is apparently on permanent hiatus. For Sean Palmer and Anthony Deville, Seth Kamens, that's the Sean Show. Talk to you next week, everybody.